Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm joined tonight for a very special Schmoopfest episode by my beautiful, lovely wife, Erica.
Hi.
It's been a long time since you've been on the podcast.
It's been a really long time.
Today is actually my birthday, and so I wanted to record this episode on my birthday. I wanted to spend the last few hours of my birthday talking to my beautiful wife on the podcast that I love to do. We're going to be talking about...
Isn't that sweet, by the way, everyone?
Super sweet that I'm so, like, sweet about you, that I'm always like, oh, you're beautiful and I love you.
And let's record a podcast.
So sweet. Yeah, right? I love you. Will you marry me on this podcast? Let's renew our vows on this podcast.
For your birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday. So I wanted to record a kind of a special episode about the movies that sort of... mattered to us in the course of our relationship. I'm not really sure. We're just going to be talking about... This is kind of like one of those F everything episodes that I do with Doug, only it's with Erica. Because we're going to be talking about movies that meant something to us sort of in the course of our relationship. This year we will be married for 10 years.
Yeah, this summer. We really should have saved this for like an anniversary...
Right.
Podcast.
But I feel like not all of the listeners celebrate our anniversary.
Right, whereas
they do celebrate my birthday.
I think so. You had quite a few birthday greetings today.
Yeah, that's true. No,
and I got Schmoopy on the Twitter.
Truthfully speaking, thank you to everybody who wrote nice messages on Facebook. Yeah, you sound like JB. who wrote nice messages on our Twitter or on my Facebook page or whatever. That was super nice of you guys. So thank you very much.
It was. And it really made him happy.
It did. Very little does.
that's also true.
You can find our website at fthismovie.net, and you should follow us on Twitter we're at fthismovie, and you can like our Facebook page, and you can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
You do that so well.
Thank you. I've done it over 200 times. quick self-promotion plug, whatever, later in April, I'm actually going to be a guest on the Projection Booth podcast, talking about the Bad Lieutenant films. Bad Lieutenant, directed by Abel Ferrara, and Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans, directed by Werner Herzog. Thank you to Mike White and the Projection Booth. So be sure to check me out over there. I will
let us know.
I'll let you guys know when the episode is live, but you should be listening to the Projection Booth anyway, because that's a great podcast.
Yeah.
Before we get into our Schmoopfest, my boo, have you seen anything good lately?
Sure. A few things.
All right. Like what?
Let's see. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes.
Saw that recently.
Yes.
With?
Me.
Yes.
I did a podcast on it last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I know you did.
But we could talk about it.
Well, we don't have to talk too much about it.
Did you love it? You are probably a bigger Wes Anderson fan than I am.
I
it wasn't always that way.
I respond, really? Yeah, that's
well,
funny.
We were the same.
Right.
We were the same amount of Wes Anderson fan.
Well, I understand... I think some of the issues that you've had, sometimes we see a trailer for his next film and it's like, oh, we like all of those things. We like how it looks. We like how it sounds. We like what they're saying. But it's been done that same way so many times before that it just feels like, I don't know.
Must have just, I mean, it has to be like a pretty recent, well, I guess he's had a couple movies. Because remember the Darjeeling Limited, which is maybe his movie that I like the least. It feels like the most repetitive. But that trailer, we loved. Like if we were in a theater... If we were just walking around the theater and heard it playing in another
theater, we would run in.
Yeah, to hear like the couple, there was a couple Kink songs.
Yeah.
And man, that was such a good trailer.
I know, it was.
Yeah.
We would like hold hands.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we do that because we're married.
Sometimes.
And stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if no adults are around or.
Right.
Yeah.
People.
So you liked Grand Budapest Hotel?
I did. I actually went into it, I think, not expecting to like it.
Yeah, or, that's how I was.
Right, not that I was, I don't know, I wasn't expecting to dislike it, but the trailer, again, did that same thing for me where I'm like, yes, Wes Anderson, but I don't know, everything feels exactly the same, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but then by the end of this, I realized that I like his style, I like the way he says things, I like how it looks, I like how it sounds, like I said before, and it worked for me, I don't know, in the end, the very end of the film, I got strangely emotional.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I mean, without spoiling anything, I think I mentioned this on the podcast that we did, that you turned to me and said that you wanted to be like sobbing or something.
Right.
And I forget why you said you didn't actually sob.
Why didn't I? I think I definitely let out tears in the theater before.
Yeah, right. Especially during like Eight Crazy Nights. Guys, just so you guys know.
What are you talking
Erica
about?
Erica cried during Eight Crazy Nights. I don't think it was when the reindeer were pooping, but I can't be sure. It might have been when the reindeer pooed.
What else have I cried in recently?
Well, we don't have to talk about this. No, that's fine.
Yeah, that's,
but
we'll have a different podcast.
Movies that you cry during?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sleepless in Seattle.
I'll just make a list.
You always cry at Sleepless. But you didn't cry, I think, because you didn't want your makeup to run?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm like, wait, what? I'm just kidding. But what, can you speak without spoiling anything in the movie to why you thought it was so sad, or would that spoil stuff?
I feel like it would spoil something.
Okay.
But I remember thinking it was a metaphor for life.
Yeah. And the government.
So deep. Yeah. Metaphor for life, everyone. Think about it. Wait.
I can't even think about it because my mind is blown. What do you think of the new sound equipment? You haven't been on here yet.
I was going to say that last time I recorded a podcast, we were hunched over in front of your computer.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
But this is really fun. I feel professional.
Super professional.
You sound
nothing
really good.
Like a Saturday night with headphones on, talking to your husband. 10:30.
I know. And we're like staring at each other right now.
Yeah, we are.
But hey.
Gazing longingly
into it.
This is just like when I do shows with Mark on. We just stare at each other from across the desk.
It's weird.
Super romantic. Anyway.
You sound good in my ears, by the way.
Well, I sound good everywhere.
Nice.
So you loved Grand Budapest Hotel, and it's your favorite movie of the year. And that's what you said, right? I'm pretty sure. We saw a movie yesterday.
We did. It was called Bad Words.
Yes, it was.
Jason Bateman was the star.
Not to be confused with
the star.
Bad Santa.
True.
Or Bad Teacher.
Do you remember when we saw Bad Santa?
Bad Lieutenant. Which I'll be talking about on the Projection Booth
podcast
later this month. I do remember when we saw
when
Bad
we
Santa.
Saw
Go ahead and tell
Bad
that story.
Bad Santa in the theater.
I'm going to
the
pass
R-rated
out.
R-rated Bad Santa. There was a family in the same row as us. A family with young kids who should not have been there.
Yeah.
And they brought a lot of food and
cans
of pop. And
or soda, if you're anywhere outside
Midwest. Soda pop. And then about like a half an hour into the movie, they finally realized this is definitely not what we...
I think it was when he was like doing anal with the woman in the dressing room.
Yeah, and they threw down, they like knocked over one of their cans of soda pop.
They made a big show of leaving
the
theater.
Grabbed their coats. It was winter and they live in Chicago, so everyone had heavy coats and stuff. And they grabbed it all and it was like a big...
But I remember sitting there cataloging all the things that they had already sat through. Like this was okay and this was okay.
They didn't know what they were doing. So that was the thought. Like, did they just look at the screen and say, "Ooh, movie with Santa in the title.
Right.
Let's take our kids."
The word bad is before it.
And it's rated R.
Know
rated
what you're
R.
going to see,
it's
people.
Rated R.
This makes me crazy. Like, know what is... I remember when we went to see the first Jackass movie, there was a group of people that made it like well over an hour into the movie and then left.
Right.
And that's just fascinating to me. Right. I don't know that it was like... That's
I'm
something,
offended.
Right. Or maybe it was just, I've had enough. This movie isn't getting any better. Adam Riske wrote a whole thing about walking out of movies, and I'm just not, I don't walk out of movies. Right. We have sat through some real garbage, some real pieces of shit, but like we don't leave, you know?
No, you got to see it through.
You got to see it through, right? And so maybe they just felt like they'd had enough, but I don't know, wait it out for 15 more minutes, and then you know that you've seen the Jackass movie. Now you've only seen part of the Jackass movie.
And
how do you sleep at night?
And I always feel like I can't say it was horrible if I didn't see the whole thing.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
Right. But the Bad Santa people, I mean, I get it. They were with young children who
They were probably offended, right. But know what you're going to see ahead of time.
Right.
Jokers. Anyway, so you saw Bad Words. That's what we were talking about.
Yes. Jason Bateman.
Yes. Directed by
directed
Jason
it,
Bateman.
Yeah, and starred in it. And
yes.
Looked cute in it.
Yes.
I liked it. I don't know. Wait, what's your famous quote?
I don't know.
It's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
It's fine.
Or liked it, didn't love it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Huge, big ups to everyone for the F This Movie memes. Oh,
those
my gosh.
Those are so fun.
Yeah. I really have had so much
I
fun
wanna
looking
make
at
one.
Those. You should, but you'd have to listen to the podcast in order to make.
Oh, I do.
Sometimes you do, yeah.
I do. I'm just behind.
It was so great because people were coming up with really obscure references, including things that I didn't even remember and had to ask about. But it's a ton of fun, so thank you guys.
Yeah,
it's really fun. Yeah, it's fine is the big one.
Yeah,
but then apparently I made fun of four.
I liked Bad Words.
All right.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
The audience that we were with was really...
Oh, interesting.
Kind of loving it.
Yeah.
Because I guess they thought it was really funny every time Jason Bateman said something shocking or offensive.
Horrible.
Especially
to
a child. Right. And to me, that's just kind of lazy.
Yeah.
So I didn't think the movie was very funny, but it's not even totally a comedy. I mean, it is basically a comedy, but... I feel like the dramatic stuff worked better, which isn't to say that there's a ton of drama in it. I'm probably going to try and write a review of it for the site, so I don't want to repeat myself too much.
Don't.
But it seemed very influenced by Paul Thomas Anderson, which I would not have predicted going in, but it seems like that's somebody he studied a lot.
Even the score reminded me of...
Yeah. But he's good. He's always good. He's just great at delivering dialogue, which I know sounds like a stupid thing to say, but everything sounds a little smarter and a little funnier coming out of his mouth than it would somebody else doing those same exact lines.
Right, exactly. And I don't know. I thought the chemistry between him and the kid.
Yeah, the kid was really cute.
Yeah, the kid was so cute.
Yeah.
And that was really good. And again, I'm not offended easily. There were maybe like one or two things, though, that I was like, oh, a little uncomfortable with, but I know that was the point, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's just because it's not funny.
Yeah,
I mean, I know you were kind of cringing at the girl with the ketchup packet.
Right.
And it was. It's uncomfortable, but it would have been less so if it was really funny.
Right.
And it wasn't.
Right.
It was just sort of uncomfortable. And I have to give credit to Catherine Hahn, who plays that part in a lot of movies. Catherine Hahn, I think more than any other actress in Hollywood, has done... comedic sex scenes, like more than any. She's in a bunch of sex scenes, but they're always sort of played for laughs and they're always weird and she turns out to be a freak. But she's good in everything.
Yeah.
And I still haven't seen Afternoon Delight, which was an indie movie that she made, I think, last year that she's actually the lead in for once.
Let's watch it.
All right. It involves a prostitute or a stripper or a sex surrogate.
Oh.
So I know you're on board.
Okay, yeah.
Right. But yeah, I didn't see it. But she's the lead in it and it got mixed reviews. Mm. Some people thought it was great. Other people, horrible. So Bad Words, just okay.
Yeah.
Just.
I'm glad I saw it. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Going into it, though, I knew nothing about it. And I really hadn't even heard that much about it.
That kind of helps, though, don't you think?
Yeah. That's fine. But I just felt like it was more under the radar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
More and more now, I feel like with movies, I know less about them than I ever used to. I used to be watching trailers obsessively, reading all the reviews ahead of time. I'm doing that way less, and I don't know exactly why
I could name several reasons why.
What? Go ahead, name one or two.
You're busy.
Okay.
You work a lot.
True.
You have children.
Yes.
You're a good husband.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All of those things are true.
Schmoop.
And then the last thing we should talk about is we just finished watching...
The World's End. Which Patrick had seen already.
Yes.
Probably more than once.
No.
Oh.
That was only my second viewing.
Do you like your second viewing?
I did.
As much as the first viewing?
Yeah. I mean, it's in a different way.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked it,
by the way.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I did.
You had never gotten to see it. I saw it because we were going to do a podcast on it. So I think I went opening night by myself and you were going to go after that. And just, it was the end of summer.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
Because school started again and it just gets hard.
Right.
And so you had not seen it, but now you were able to see it and you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I really liked the relationships between the guys and how they each had their own little, personality that was so specific.
Right.
In terms of what they've become, their adult lives, and
Do you know any, or have you known any
robots?
Gary Kings,
or aliens?
Please, spoilers.
Oh no,
robots. any Gary Kings? People that are kind of stuck.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Okay. Jeez. It's our first fight ever.
Oh, my gosh.
It's my birthday. Don't fight on my birthday.
Let's make up.
All right.
I think I probably do.
Okay.
Do
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Do you? Well, no. I'm trying to really.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like I do, but minus some of the charm. I know he's kind of an obnoxious character, but.
I don't know. Maybe. I guess. I don't know. Maybe I don't. I know they're out there. They're just not people that I'm friends with.
Right.
Maybe I hear from, I've heard, I'll go out with some old friends. It's like, oh, this person.
I just wonder if the movie kind of has more resonance if you watch it saying, oh, yeah. I mean, knowing that person exists obviously helps. But to to know somebody like that.
Well,
I wonder
even
if
I don't know, even if you could say just like a fraction of his personality, just like a little bit of that, that wanting things to go back or wanting to relive,
right,
like certain moments, youth, the 90s.
That's the dream of the 90s is alive.
It's alive.
In Portland. Watching it a second time, I had wanted to see the movie again really since after I saw it the first time because...
You loved it.
Yeah, no, I did. And I knew that there were so many sort of references and instances of foreshadowing. The screenplay is like very dense and it's structured in such a way that there's things that I couldn't have picked up on the first time. And so I definitely picked up on more of that stuff this time, but I honestly wasn't...
Really? You weren't pointing any of it out to me.
Well, because it was your first viewing and I didn't feel like that was fair. But I wasn't even totally watching it for that reason. It was interesting because I liked it better, but not necessarily because I was picking up on certain things. It's just because I was able to watch it without any of the baggage of like, oh, I'm seeing Edgar Wright's new movie, and does it live up to my hopes and expectations of what an Edgar Wright movie should be? And there's only a few filmmakers that that's true of. I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson is a little bit,
right,
suffers from a little bit of that for me,
yeah,
you know, personally.
For you. No, I know.
And definitely Quentin Tarantino, because like I saw Django Unchained. I liked it, didn't love it, you know, that thing.
I loved it.
Because it's just because in my head I have this idea of here's what all of his movies should be. And like Inglourious Basterds, the first time I saw it, I just went crazy for. So I assumed that all of his movies would grab me like that on the first viewing. And for whatever reason, Django didn't. I mean, I really liked it, but it wasn't until I kind of thought about it some more in the days following or the weeks following, and then especially when I watched it again at home, it was like I was free of that baggage of what is the new Quentin Tarantino movie going to be like,
right,
and I could just watch it as a movie, and it was 10 times better.
Right.
And that's a little bit, I don't know, I can't
you
think
and
of other
high expectations.
Well, yeah, it's just OCD. I wonder if any of that is true of like Wes Anderson. I don't know.
Well, probably, yeah. Actually, I thought of that while you were describing the rest of...
You think that might be true for you of Wes Anderson?
No, for you.
See, with him, for me, I feel like it almost works in reverse.
Oh.
Like, I have a bad idea of what the new Wes Anderson movie is going to be. Only recently, that's
right,
not
right,
fair.
Right.
But,
no.
And so I liked Grand Budapest Hotel a lot because it wasn't exactly...
Okay, that's exactly...
I don't know.
That's kind of what I was saying.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So we're not fighting.
Right. No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
This is not our first fight then, is what you're
well,
saying.
Well, it's like a halfway.
All right. So
it's
let's
over.
Talk about what we're going to talk about
yeah.
tonight, which is we're just going to rattle off some of the movies that, because the thing is, I think the first
thing. Do people
want
to hear this though? I don't know.
Probably not, but we
okay.
are just going to be talking about
movies
more so than like our relationship.
And then we went on a date.
Exactly.
And then afterwards.
So this is just an excuse to talk about a variety of movies, but there's sort of a unifying theme.
Right.
Because that was the first thing that really got us talking to one another was that we found out that the other person was way into movies.
We had all these mutual acquaintances and mutual friends. And then somehow someone that I don't think we knew very well, like, should we tell this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Just be quick about it.
Okay, I'll be quick. I'm not good at that. This story's going to take like 20 minutes
it's
now.
15
I know,
detours.
Right.
And like,
I'm going to give you background
yeah,
on
right,
all these people
right.
that none of you have met. So Patrick and I live in the Chicago area. And, you know, we're big fans of Roger Ebert. And we both grew up watching Siskel and Ebert and reading his reviews. And we also have a local film critic who's kind of a big deal. His name's Dan Geyer. And he writes for a paper called The Daily Herald, which both of our families subscribe to. And so it turns out that we were in this show,
community theater show,
right? And Patrick and I really didn't know each other at all, but we both had friends in it, whatever. And Dan Geyer's daughter was in it. I think she's on Broadway now.
Probably.
I think I
that
saw.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got this podcast that I record in my basement, so, you know.
And I'm a guest on it.
That's right.
But yeah, no, I think she's on Broadway. It's pretty cool. I saw a picture on Dan
Great.
Geyer's Facebook page. But anyway, so Dan Geyer's daughter was in the show, and some other younger, like, community theater person in the show kind of said, hey, Dan Geyer's here to pick up his daughter. And Patrick responded with something. And then the girl said the same thing to me in a different room, and I responded with the same thing. And then she said, oh, Patrick Brownlee said the same thing. And then she pulled me over to Patrick, and then we kind of talked. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how
I mean, it was super quick.
It was very quick. Yeah. I don't, I mean, I tell it longer, but.
No, it's fine. But it was,
but
that
it was
really
like,
our first interaction.
You guys said the same thing.
Right.
Like verbatim, whatever our answer was. It was.
Well, that we both just
was,
read
we
Dan
read
Dyer
his
all the
column
time.
All the time. Right. And yeah. I think we said, we used some phrase that was, I don't know, very specific.
Heard more sessions by sleeping.
I think I.
Yeah, it was cool. And so that was my first introduction that you were way into movies.
Right. Because otherwise we had seen each other and maybe said hi, but we didn't really know each other at all.
Well, she wouldn't give me the time of day. Here's the thing, boys. You're very lucky if you can find a woman who loves movies as much as you do, especially when they are a Stone Fox.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
Suddenly, Miss Erica became way more interesting to me. Not that she wasn't before, but it was like, oh my gosh, she's a Fox and she's way into movies. But
I
we
worked
still didn't
at Blockbuster Video at the
exactly,
time.
Exactly, yeah. But we still didn't really get to talk that much about movies. So I'm going to jump to my first movie that I would say is an important step in the evolution of our relationship. And we can just talk about the movie itself. And that is Wild Things.
Oh my
which
gosh.
Came out in 1998. And not a lot of people can say that they owe their relationships to Wild Things. but I do, because in 1998, this theater that's near our house that we reference all the time on this podcast, it was opening. This was opening weekend.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, you were home from college in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we had mutual friends. And so it was decided that we were all going to go see this movie as a group. And I remember you, I think, calling me to make the plan. And I even said, like,
I am a planner.
This is a historic occasion. And you said, why? And I said, because Erica Mueller's calling me. Because I was a dork with no skills. And how she married me, I will never understand.
I'll tell you guys in the next podcast.
So we go to see Wild Things. And it's super crowded because it's opening night of this theater and all these people are there. And we couldn't even sit together. We sat in like three groups. So it was you and your friend.
Yeah.
Then Doug and another guy that we were with. And then I sat by. I was the guy who had to sit alone.
I was with Mark Norkay.
Yeah. I was the guy who had to sit alone at Wild Things. And ultimately, everybody's at Wild Things to see the threesome scene. I mean, I feel like even the young people who were there in the audience that night were all just sort of sitting around waiting for that scene. But let's just talk about Wild Things as a movie for a couple minutes, and maybe you can't because you haven't seen it in so long.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, every once in a while it's on cable or something.
Right.
Leave it on for a few minutes as a joke.
Just to see if they're at that scene.
Right. Yeah, just as a joke, you know, just as a joke.
Yeah, sure. that scene gives me a hilarious boner.
I don't remember how I felt about Wild Things after we saw it.
I don't either.
I think
I was too distracted by the fact that you were there. no, I think I kind of liked Wild Things at
I
the
did too.
Time. Because
I don't know how it stands up. How it holds
I don't
up.
Know. I don't think it does very well. Okay. And I could be wrong, and people will be listening to this pulling out their hair right now. Like,
oh,
Wild Things is such a great example of the genre.
Oh.
And it is true that it's definitely a movie that is aware of exactly what it is and that is almost a parody of the kind of movie that it is. Like, John McNaughton is too smart a filmmaker to just make the sort of erotic thriller straight to HBO movie that movie seems like. And
right.
So there's all these instances of things in the movie that are that, but a little bit smarter. I mean, the cast is obviously way better. And the thing that always sticks out in my head that's so great about Wild Things is during the credits, it cuts to a bunch of scenes that you didn't see in the movie. I don't know if you even remember this, that it fills in all the blanks where all the twists are.
Okay.
Like, it will show you the scene where this character met with this character and they made this plan.
Yeah.
That you didn't know, you know, ahead of time. And it's only after the twist is revealed that now they can show the scene between these two people or whatever.
Right.
I remember there being a scene where I can't remember if it's during the credits or not, where a character is pulling out teeth with a pair of pliers. It's rough. But I remember seeing that and feeling like, oh, this movie is so much smarter than it seems like. You know what I mean? That it's pretending to be dumb. It's a smart movie that's pretending to be dumb.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that's right. I think that at the time, I don't know if I was feeling that at the time. I don't know. But I remember thinking that the movie had like the right tone to it.
Right.
And that it was just fun. I don't know.
But I also feel, like you said, that I don't know if it holds up because...
Let's watch it.
All right. Because I don't think that kind of movie exists so much anymore.
I don't think so either.
In the 90s, it felt more like, oh, I know what this is.
Right.
But the erotic thriller
is
sort of a dead genre. And I remember last year going to see Side Effects and not knowing that that is ultimately what that movie is. And... feeling like if I saw it again, I might like it more knowing now that that's what it is. Because I went in thinking it was this thriller about pharmaceuticals or the legal system or whatever. And not knowing that it was...
Right. I liked Side Effects.
Basic Instinct. Do you want to talk about that? Well, would you say that's an important movie in the evolution of our relationship?
No, not really. So Wild Things, yeah, it was fun.
All right.
No, it was fun. I think... I don't know, like, you know, remember at Blockbuster and other video stores that there were a bunch of those types of movies, erotic thrillers. That
yes,
were,
we talked about like, this on a video.
Really?
Because I worked at Blockbuster for a short time, and you would always know the dad would let the kids go pick out a tape, and then he would always
be like in the middle section.
In the suspense section, because that's what it was called, suspense. So, all right, I guess we can stop talking about Wild Things. But you did get to see Kevin Bacon's penis. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I forgot about that.
No, listen, I didn't.
Should we watch that?
Sure, we can put it up.
I totally forgot. Wait, was he like
he was in a
shower? And he walks out like in a towel or something, or that he's drying off.
I don't remember.
For some reason, I have.
I'm trying to remember the last time I watched it on still frame. It was last week. What was he doing?
Do you remember All the Right Moves?
No, but I know that you used to pause it on VHS. So you had to clear the weird little scramble lines, right? The white lines that appear when you pause it to see if you pause it at just the right moment, you can see
Tom Cruise.
Like, I had never seen All the Right Moves until we got together. That's probably what we should be talking about is like the movies that we only saw because we're together.
We're not really going to get into that, but of that partnership.
Yeah.
You have really benefited the most, right? I mean, you've just been exposed
to
so many great 8 days a week.
Oh, come on. That was back when you were working at Blockbuster.
She would
recommend these movies to me, and I would watch them because I wanted her to like me. And, I mean, they were always...
They were not always
fucking garbage.
But in that movie, there was, like, a couple falling in love.
Because her name was Erica. That's why I
it
had
was?
To watch it. Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Because the girl's name was Erica.
Was
so I had to watch
Carrie
this.
Russell,
yes.
Right? Oh, my God.
So I had to watch this whole dumb movie because a girl's name was Erica. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what were we just talking about?
So what's your next movie after Wild Things?
Does Ryan Gosling show his penis in any movies?
I'm pretty sure in all of them. Definitely in Remember the Titans.
Can we find out?
I believe the Titan is what he calls his penis.
Can we find out?
I remember it.
Would Doug know?
Doug might know. real last thing about Wild Things,
okay.
And then we should definitely move on.
Okay.
In 1998, I mean, one of the major reasons that I wanted to see Wild Things was because, and I could say this now, we've been married a long time, was because Denise Richards was getting naked. It wasn't so much the threesome scene as the promise of Denise Richards' nudity because
she used to be
I saw her in Starship Troopers 1 year earlier, and I remember thinking in that movie that she was so pretty that it was distracting. I can't put my brain in that space anymore.
Really?
Like, you know, no.
You don't think she looks pretty then anymore, or you don't think she's pretty now? I mean, now she, because her personal baggage.
I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like I look at her now and I'm like, ooh, she didn't hold up or whatever.
Right.
Like,
oh,
even
no,
going
right.
back and watching Starship Troopers now, it doesn't
it's
have that
same,
effect
right.
on me. Yeah.
I don't know, babe.
I don't know. I feel like maybe some of the old-timey stars are better off because you never got to know all that dumb shit. They never had tabloids and marriages to Charlie Sheen, and it was like they just exist. As their characters in movies, and you could look at them and still think, no matter how many movies they made,
they're
that
so
they're
beautiful.
Gorgeous,
wow.
Yeah. Whereas Denise Richards, it's like, you had sex with half of Bon Jovi and Charlie Sheen. Okay, first movie for you.
Oh my gosh, what?
I don't mean first chronologically.
Right.
I just mean name the first one.
Okay, right, because, all right, I think back to, there are a lot of movies, I don't know, for us, when we started to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Obviously, we talked about movies a lot, and it was kind of fun because we liked so many of the same things.
Right.
And in my personal life, like, I had friends who liked movies who would go and see, you know, what was opening. But I didn't really have a lot of friends who wanted to, like, watch everything that ever came out.
Right.
So it was fun talking to you about anything and everything. So I don't know. We just connected a lot in that way, and we had a lot to talk about. Okay, so one movie was Boogie Nights.
Yes.
We did not see it together.
No.
But we both liked it a lot.
Yes.
And we were really excited that we had met somebody else who liked it as much as, right. And I feel like it's not always that we liked the same things, although we did. And, you know, it was almost like annoying.
Yeah,
you know
we got
I mean?
We got accused of, I remember we went to see Bringing Out the Dead, and we both really liked it. Right? I think it was Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah.
We both really liked it. And then somebody accused us of like, well, you're only saying that. I can't remember if it was like, you're
it
only saying that because
the other person
said it. Or I feel like we were also accused of, I keep doing this. Somebody in an email recently who works sound said it makes them laugh every time I bump the mic stand. I'm still getting used to the new equipment, people. And I talk with my hands way too much. If you have ever watched our videos, you know that. That we were accused of liking it because we thought we were supposed to like it. Or was that Affliction? There was some movie that we both really liked. And
I
somebody
really
was
liked
like,
Affliction.
So did I. But somebody accused us of only liking it because that was like...
Like, you think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think it's supposed to. I don't know. Yeah,
is
anyone talking about this movie? I don't
right.
Does anyone care?
No,
I don't
Affliction,
know. Like,
years
I just
later, people are still
it.
Just
yeah,
going
right.
on and on
oh
about
God.
The brilliance
about
of Affliction.
I get asked about
right?
it all the time.
Oh, another one of those Affliction groupies. You were saying Boogie Nights.
Yeah, so I don't know. We liked a lot of the same movies, but I think it wasn't just like what we liked, but how we liked it. We liked so many movies in the same way. Like, we responded to them in the same way. Whereas someone
right.
else may have been like, yeah, I liked Boogie Nights, but just in a different way. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's – and this isn't going to make the most compelling conversation, so I'll make this point quickly.
Okay.
The way that we responded to things like Boogie Nights and some other things, a lot of times it was songs. It was a way that neither of us was really able to articulate, but that each of us sort of instinctively understood in the other one. So,
right.
like, I couldn't exactly say what it was that made my heart explode when I would watch Boogie Nights, but because it made your heart explode too, and we sort of understood that it was for the same reasons, even if we couldn't.
Right.
And that was kind of part of why we fell in love, because, like, right. we understood that about each other, and we responded to a certain thing in the same way.
Right.
Whatever.
No.
Let's just talk about actual okay. Boogie Nights, because we've never done a podcast on Boogie Nights. And
we haven't?
No.
No one?
I kind of think we never will, because it would be the
just
Chris
be like,
Farley show.
Oh, yeah.
And
do you remember the scene?
Yeah, exactly. And I love
awesome.
The movie so great. Much, and sometimes I'm reluctant to do a movie that I really, really love.
Aww.
Because, I don't know, the conversation just turns into like, and here's why
have you
I
done
love
Back
it,
to the
and
Future?
Here's why I love it. No, and we never
oh
will.
Oh, my God,
no.
really?
No. We'll do the sequels. Doug and I have talked for a long time about doing Back to the Futures 2 and 3, because I can find things to say
right.
about those.
Without it just being,
exactly.
it's so great, I love
right.
it. Oh, this is great.
That's
this is
not
the best.
Necessarily interesting.
Right.
So we've never done a show on Boogie Nights, but let's talk a little bit about Boogie Nights.
I don't know. Okay.
I know
I
that
know.
You love Boogie Nights for, like, the music.
Yeah.
I know that you love the 70s and you like the roller
right.
skating and the clothes and the hair and the music
yeah.
and all that.
I love how it's cut together.
Right. You
love
the sort of
edited.
Scorsese-ness
yes.
of it
yes.
because you love Goodfellas more
love
than
Scorsese.
Any other movie except for 8 Days a Week.
And oh, my God.
So what – but beyond those
when
things –
okay. I remember – seeing
you love drugs
Mark Wahlberg
yeah
on a show and they showed a clip from Boogie Nights it was the scene in the hot tub where he comes up with his name and
yeah.
the lights and you know it doesn't give you much on the movie but I think was working at Blockbuster at the time yeah and had read some articles and just was really into Paul Thomas Anderson without knowing a lot about him in like a movie way I don't
right.
know I hadn't like studied him up but I was just reading the stuff and like responding to things he was saying or whatever so saw the movie and was just, I don't know, that feeling of like on the edge of your seat almost. Just I loved everything that I was
yeah.
seeing. I love the way it looked. I love what it was about. I love the relationships. I love the ups and downs. It's like heartbreaking in moments. I love what he did right with music. How to punctuate a scene with a certain just feeling or I don't know.
How to punctuate a scene with a giant penis.
Also
because
that.
Right now, two movies in a row that we've talked about in the evolution of our relationship. Cock shots. Oh my God. And there's another one that we're going to talk about.
What? Really?
Has, yeah. Oh, that's what all these movies have in common? Just shots of dick?
I didn't even, oh my God.
So Boogie Nights, I did not know anything about, really. I read, like, one article in Details Magazine that this guy, Paul Thomas Anderson, had to make a movie
about. I wonder if that's
what I read. Because
that was always a Blockbuster.
Reads Details Magazine?
Well, it was always a Blockbuster.
Right, and I was working at the White Hen and just reading it, like, behind
the
counter.
There you go, right.
And then I saw one preview for it before L.A. Confidential, which I saw by myself on a Saturday afternoon at the Lowe's Rolling Meadows Theater? No, Streamwood.
I love your stories about
it. I'm a weirdo. And I saw the trailer and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to see that movie. And when then it opened, and it didn't open wide. It opened in a couple theaters around Chicago, including one in Skokie, which, if you're from Chicago, it's not super close, at least to where I live.
It's not that far, though.
It's not super bad, but
it probably felt like that at the time.
On a Sunday afternoon, I got in my car and drove to Skokie, not really knowing where I was going, but I found the theater.
That was your thing, man.
Yeah. It was packed with mostly elderly people. When it ended, I felt like a different person. I've only had a few of those experiences
in
my life, but the movie was, it was like life-changing to me. I just thought it was so great. And I was so riveted. I mean, just the scene where they're at the house and the firecrackers are going off and Jesse's girl is playing. The length of time that it holds on just Mark Wahlberg's face while he's sort of thinking about where he's at in his life, basically. I was just sitting there marveling at, like, I cannot believe how long he's holding this shot. It's so incredible. And it ended, and I was by myself. I wanted to, like, turn to the people around me and be like, oh, my God, you were there for that, too. What? Let's talk about what just happened. And I didn't have anybody to talk to, and I drove home, and I got stuck in a train that lasted literally 25 minutes. And I almost didn't care. Yeah, I mean, I kind of almost didn't care. So I was excited when it opened a little bit wider to go with other people. And I saw that movie probably four or five times in a theater. But I love it a lot. And yeah, when I found out that you loved it as well, because especially in 97, 98, there was a little bit of like a stigma to saying that you loved Boogie Nights because
it's different now.
Yeah.
Now I think.
Well, I think enough people have seen it or. Times have kind of changed where just porn has invaded the mainstream in such a way. But in 97, 98, if you say you love Boogie Nights, you are like sort of a pervert to an outsider.
And it used to bother me when people say like, oh, that porn movie
or it's
about porn. Because I was like, no, it's not about porn.
Exactly.
I mean, there's like, you know, people are making those movies in the movie. That's kind of, you know, but it's not
people
about porn.
People do make love in the movie. Like, when a man and a woman love each other and they take a special pill, have sex. Yes, so I was excited to hear that you loved it because it was like, oh, you clearly saw past this other stuff.
A similar way. Well, I saw it with a group of people in Milwaukee.
Why you gotta brag? Like, I had friends and didn't have to see it alone.
And when it ended, I remember very clearly, we were way up in the front. It was crowded. We were way up in the front, and it ended, and I kind of looked around again with that feeling of like, oh my gosh, this was so great. And I right away, which I know you're probably like, but I was like, oh my gosh, it's Goodfellas. It's just set to a different backdrop. But I like that about it. I wasn't, you know, mad. But as we were walking out of the theater, everyone seemed to be fixated on the shot of Mark Wahlberg taking the prosthetic out of his pants. Right. I'm a big star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big bright shiny star.
Right. That seemed to be what everyone was like talking about, responding to, even if people were like, oh, I liked it, but it was just like, oh my gosh, how funny was that? Or can you believe it? Or, you know, that was the thing. And
that's depressing.
That wasn't what I was still fixated on, you know?
Right. I mean, it is now.
I think about it all
16
the time.
Years later or whatever.
All
yeah.
The time. 16 yeah. years. Oh my God.
Right. Do you
oh
feel like
God.
The oldest
what?
Person alive? I'm older today because it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. But
you
I'm,
look so handsome on your birthday,
I'm
by the way.
Way older. Like way older.
Can I talk about how handsome you look?
Let's not.
Oh my gosh, you do.
I realized
his beard
today,
is like the perfect length. Right
I've
now.
Told the story before about I was in Wisconsin as a kid. I would have been 10. And I found out that Predator was at the second run theater by my house, right? We would go to Wisconsin 2 weeks a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it because it was fishing the whole time. And I didn't fish. So
Patrick
I would
go to the store with his mom and he'd buy comic books.
Yeah,
and then
but
he'd
then
go
I
home
burned
and,
through those in like an hour.
You know, and he'd read
and I would
over
read
again.
All my books like in the first few days. And then
so
I would
cute.
Burn through all my sister's Babysitter's Club books. Like
Because you had nothing
days.
Else to read.
Yeah, it was like I needed
Did
something
you read,
else.
Did you read like your mom's magazines too?
No.
Did she have any like
She had like novels because she would bring a bunch to read too because that's all we did was read.
That's so cute.
So I found out the Predator was there the week.
You were so smart.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what happened.
Were, not all.
Yeah, thank you for the past tense. So I found out the Predator was there, and we were there for 2 weeks, but we would buy a Chicago paper. And I think I cried because the following week it was gone. So I missed my chance to see Predator because I was up in stupid Wisconsin.
Oh, my God.
So when we got home, it was still playing at a theater in Naperville, which, again, not super close. My dad took me and my brother to Naperville to see Predator at the Second Run Theater. And I remember feeling like that was a big deal. Again, I've talked before, we didn't see a ton of movies when I was a kid. And I have these certain specific memories of, like, my dad sometimes going the extra mile and, like, trying to do something special. And that was one of them, that he drove 45 minutes to take me to see Predator when I was 10 years old. The point is, I'm now the age that he was when he took me to see Predator.
No.
Yes.
No way.
This freaks me the fuck out.
Our parents had kids when they were so young.
I know.
They got married so young.
I assume
they
were
15,
16.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go back to Boogie Nights.
Okay.
Because
wait, can I just share a quick story?
Please. I just told that whole Predator story.
I know. I'm kidding. I love it. It's so cute. Oh, it's so sweet. And your beard is so cute. Okay. I was very young.
Are you just trying to compete with my Predator story?
Yeah, I am right now.
All right.
I cried once because I couldn't see a movie. No, my parents recorded Grease when it was on TV.
Yeah.
And on the VHS, it said, like, in the beginning, like, edited for television.
Right.
But that was, I was a baby, and so I didn't get to watch it till years later. So then, in the 80s, I used to watch it all the time. I had it, like, memorized. Before it was a thing, like no one else, I didn't know anyone else watched Grease. You know what I mean? I know now it's like everybody knows Grease, but I was young. I was in preschool, like in kindergarten. Anyway, I loved Grease, and then Grease 2 was going to be on TV. And I was so excited and waiting for the day. And then the day came, and we forgot to set the VCR. And when I realized it, I was upstairs. And I remember realizing it, I think because I took the TV guide. I used to read the TV guide like when I was really young, like front to cover, whatever I could. I wouldn't look at all the schedules.
There are so many ways that we are so alike. It's no wonder that we are married. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. So I had the TV guide up there, and I was really, really young, like 6, 7, 8. I don't know. 6, 7. And I screamed really loudly. And then I think my mom and possibly my grandma, too, were downstairs. And they were all worried and came up like, what's wrong? What happened? You know, because I screamed and then was crying hysterically. We forgot to record Grease 2 because I'd never seen Grease 2. And I love Grease 1. And so I wanted to see Grease 2.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Then it was like years. Like, I never saw Grease 2.
And yet you were better off because then you do finally see Grease 2. And it's like, this was not worth getting upset about. Yeah, I totally have those stories, too, where, like, I would be at a friend's sleeping over and we were deliberately staying up till like 12 or 2 because Hell Comes to Frogtown was going to be on USA Up All Night, and Roddy Piper was in it, and I love Roddy Piper, and how else am I going to see Hell Comes to Frogtown because the video store doesn't have it and it's not being shown on cable and I can't record it, so I have to stay up and just see it when it's on at 2 a.m. And
did you have friends who also were like, yeah, I want to see that too?
I mean, enough where I could kind of talk them into it.
I don't think I really did.
Well, I had friends who were nerds like me and we were into the same nerdy stuff.
I had friends, I swear.
But there's nothing, obviously you saw Boogie Nights in a group. but there was nothing, I mean, there was nothing worse than like you wake up and it's 4:30 and you're like, oh,
I fell asleep
and missed it. And I don't know when it's going to be on again.
Right.
I just have to wait and be at the mercy of.
Right.
And then eventually I kind of got wise and I would just leave a VHS running all night.
Oh my God.
So that I could record the Monkees movie at 4 a.m. on TNT.
I love it. I used to do that sometimes with tapes. Like I would record Z95 for hours and hours to try and find. And then when I had the double cassette, oh, that was great because then I could edit and like take what I wanted.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Nice. Anyway.
Okay.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. I don't know. I love Boogie Nights.
I know. I do too.
What are you supposed to say other than
it's a movie that
so
like if it comes on, I have to stop what I'm doing and finish watching it.
Right.
Well, the thing about you is I feel like you.
Yes. What about me?
Well, you're very pretty.
Oh, you're sweet.
More than anyone I know, I feel like. I don't know. Like, you are crazy empathetic. And
thank you for recognizing that about
me. Not a problem.
We're married.
I am empathetic, But I also have crazy defense mechanisms where I could shut that shit off. No problem.
Like, oh, but the fact that it's there is good because yeah, that's but another way that we connect. Like
I know, but then sometimes you want to connect with me and I'm just like, nope, I don't want to know. I don't want to feel that
like,
thing.
Look at this article about this horrible thing.
Read
you're
this
like,
really
no,
sad story about this couple that died on their wedding night.
Oh
it's like,
God.
No. And I just shut that shit off and I watch Hell Comes to Frogtown. But do you think any of that has to do with your love of Boogie Nights?
It probably has to do with my love of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and Boogie Nights, you know, once the 80s hits, well, you know, the ending. I love the ending when it shows, like, what everybody's going to be and Olympic swimmer, baby. And yeah.
Because that movie is super empathetic, and the people who just dismissed it as the porn movie.
Did we play God Only Knows at our wedding?
Yeah, of course.
Aww.
We walked out to that when
after
we got married.
After the
when
first
we walked
kiss,
back
right?
up the aisle, yeah.
Steve Kelleher pressed play.
Yeah.
And it played in the church. Thank you, church. Thank you, Catholic Church, for letting us play non-religious music.
The people who dismissed it as just the porn movie, and it's okay if you saw it and didn't like it, whatever, but if you just dismissed it as the porn movie, like, you completely missed the point because that is a movie that gets to know and understand and empathize with every one of its, how you
many
know,
characters.
15 major characters.
Right.
I mean, it has a huge cast.
Right.
And all of them are people that the movie knows and loves and cares about.
Right.
And you rarely see that in movies.
That's why it felt so big and so
And
like,
that's a
important.
Little bit of what I miss from Paul Thomas Anderson's last two movies. They're much colder and as kind of brilliant as I think There Will Be Blood is, and The Master, I'm just still trying to wrap my head around. But Boogie Nights and Magnolia, like, are exploding heart movies, and I miss that. I wish he would kind of get back to doing that.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he's listening.
My next movie is going to be very...
Tweet it out. As Charlie would say, tweet it out.
Tweet that out, guys. Our five-year-old son was down here for part of F This Movie Fest, and now every once in a while we'll say something, and he'll say, tweet that out, guys, because he remembers us saying that at F This Movie Fest. He's adorable. My next movie I'll talk about very, very briefly.
Okay. And we're probably going too long on all of these, right?
Oh, for sure, but it's fine.
We're losing listeners.
I don't think we
are. Come back.
Like I said, it's just like one of those F everything shows.
Yeah.
Ever After, starring Drew Barrymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a good movie. Not a movie I remember any of. I remember seeing it thinking it was fine.
There's a line in that movie that we used to say to
I shall
all
wait
the,
all day.
Yes.
Because
oh my
Doug
God.
Used to say it like from the trailer. I don't even think Doug's seen that movie. And I only bring it up because it was the first movie that you and I saw alone together.
Oh, my gosh. That was the first one? It wasn't that one about boxing or something?
Boxing.
Will Smith?
Ali?
No.
You're thinking of Enemy of the State.
I am?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because we saw that alone together.
Wait, does he run into a Victoria's Secret store?
He does.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's Enemy of the State. We did see that one alone together, but Ever After was technically first.
Okay.
And I only bring it up. I don't remember the movie. I haven't seen it since 1998 when we saw it. I only bring it up because it fits into the theme of what we're talking about. And because sometimes it's these movies that you just think are disposable, like, here's what's out, and you go see it. And those are the movies that end up sort of changing your life. And if you're somebody who loves movies a lot, I think, sort of will categorize movies in certain ways. I was thinking about the scene in High Fidelity when... When Dick stops. So that could be on our list.
Yeah, that's definitely on our list.
When Dick stops over, and he's talking to Rob about... reorganizing his albums, and he's trying to, it's not alphabetically, and then Rob says autobiographical, and Dick's response is no fucking way. And it's the greatest scene because I understand both of them in that moment. So you do, you sort of categorize certain movies as autobiographical. We were just doing it the way we were talking about Predator and Grease 2 and Hell Comes to Frogtown, and you could talk about that pizza story with
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Right, exactly.
We have to get home.
Right, exactly.
It's on WGN
so we have
tonight.
These right. We connect these moments in our lives to movies.
Right.
And I don't remember anything about Ever After except that I will never forget that it's the first movie that you and I saw alone together. And we weren't on a date because we were just friends at the time.
Right.
Like but even the night that we went to see it, I mean, it was significant to me that it was just you and me out at a movie together. And I still remember that to this day. even if I don't remember the fucking movie at all. Like, at all. It was a Cinderella. Right. It's Cinderella, right?
Right.
It was fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fine. I guess I do say it a lot.
I don't remember. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about it either.
Why would you?
That line.
Who does?
I shall wait all day.
Maybe teenage girls.
They still use that line.
But I feel like they're just watching Frozen
or
now.
Or I shall try.
I shall try, right. And I shall wait
and
all days.
I
think,
right.
By yes. the way, those might not even be the
I
lines.
I know, that's just what we say.
Exactly. Because
I haven't checked.
When you do things enough times,
right.
It just becomes its own thing right. that no longer resembles the thing that you thought you were quoting.
Isn't there a movie that, like, we touched hands and that was like...
Probably.
No, do you know what I'm talking about?
Was it The Love Letter?
Oh, my God. With Ellen?
With Ellen and Kate Capshaw and Tom Everett Scott. The movie that had the balls to open against The Phantom Menace.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, yeah, we know a lot of you guys are going to go see the first Star Wars movie in 15 years, but how about a little counter-programming? How about The Love Letter? You want to see Kate Capshaw being romanced by Tom Selleck?
Do you remember when we saw Godzilla?
Gojira. Yeah, I do. We were super excited.
Yeah, we were so excited.
We rounded up a whole group.
Yeah,
and we
were
like, come on, guys, this is going to be the big movie of the summer.
But I remember walking in the theater, and we were like all so excited. And
yeah.
That theater used to feel like Disney World. It was
yes.
just new
yes.
and bright
and
huge and crowded all the time.
Yes.
And all three sections for food were always open.
Right.
Now it's always like the center one
now
only.
No, it's a sad
Ugh.
Ghost town.
I
mean,
know. It's
not really.
It's not
it's
really.
Still
no,
business,
right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we were always the ones who were trying to round people up to
right.
go see, especially that
we
summer.
We wanted to have friends, but we also just wanted to see all these movies like,
exactly.
when they opened, so it was
like we're
going right,
to be going
right.
to see these,
you
whether
guys
you guys come or not, so you're welcome to come. But
well, I mean, we're happy to be with everybody.
I was okay to be with everybody.
Our friend Dina.
When
has,
am I ever happy to be with everybody?
Dina has a new theory on Patrick. I was pulling up all these old pictures of us from when we were just friends.
Yeah.
And anytime.
My next movie, Just Friends.
We could talk about Just Friends.
I know. Never fails to make Erica laugh, everyone. Anna Faris saying, I know.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, Dina's theory is that in those pictures, whenever it's like us in a group, Patrick's like not smiling. And anyone out there who's my Facebook friend, which is probably just like two people, but
it's probably half of the internet.
No, I don't accept everybody. Do I?
In life.
No, I do. I accept everyone in life, okay? No, I don't know. He's not smiling in any of the group chats, but then when it's just him and me, he's smiling.
Yeah.
And my friend Dina started noticing this and pointing out, and it made me laugh. But anyway.
What's your next movie?
Well, we could talk about Notting Hill.
Okay.
We could talk about There's Something About Mary. We could talk about Armageddon.
Let's maybe talk about Armageddon. One of these days we have to do a full podcast on Armageddon.
Okay.
See, that's a movie. Like, I can't do Boogie Nights. I could definitely do Armageddon.
Well, sure you could.
We could talk about Notting Hill and There's Something About Mary. I haven't listened back to the show in a long time, but a couple years ago on Valentine's Day, you and I did a romantic comedies podcast.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we
talked about those.
We must have covered both of those.
Okay.
There's Something About Mary was especially important to me at the time. I mean, it was important to both of us because we were...
Didn't those both come out around the same time?
Something About Mary was 98.
Okay.
Notting Hill was 99.
Okay.
So it was one summer. But
it was like a summer.
August to May. That
oh,
would be
okay.
the difference.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah. Something About Mary obviously was important because you and I were at that first sneak together on a Sunday night. And that movie played better than any comedy I've ever been in.
Oh, my gosh. The audience laughed so hard you could not hear
yeah.
the movie. You
yeah.
couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Everyone was laughing so hard.
And
that
none
was
of us
so...
knew anything about it.
No. We went in totally blind. I had no
yeah.
idea. And
yeah.
yeah, it was a sneak preview. And then they did multiple sneak previews. Like,
yeah.
I remember going back with my mom. I'm like, you have to come see this
right.
movie. And
right.
then I went with somebody else and possibly with you again. Like, we just...
I went a bunch of times, usually by myself.
Oh, well, because I went back to school, right?
Right. And when I would feel sad, because the movie's all about this dorky guy who's in love with this unattainable girl, and that was the story of our life. So
oh
anytime I was feeling sad about my situation, I would go see if There's Something About Mary and somehow would feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still my favorite movie of 1998. There are so many ways that movie is really, really brilliant that
yeah.
I could expound upon, but I won't right now because
okay.
we'd spent too much time talking about Wild Things
okay.
and
yeah,
HBO
did.
Porn.
Oh my God. So Notting Hill, we don't need to talk about?
I guess not. I rarely have a desire to revisit Notting Hill.
I could revisit it for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love how Hugh Grant's character is in that movie. There were
the way he's like sort of stammering and charming.
Yeah.
The way he apologizes for breathing.
I
The way Julia Roberts is not very lovable in that movie.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the problem.
But is it a good performance? Is she doing a good job playing an actress who's super guarded and kind of fucked up?
Yeah, maybe.
But aren't we also supposed to understand why he loves her beyond just the fact that she's a famous movie star?
I don't know.
And do we?
But I don't know. I just like him in it, and I think that something about his character maybe reminded me a little bit of you. I don't know. And then at the end,
stammer.
Yeah.
No. We did love the last shot.
Yeah.
And that was our first. That song. Not to tie it much too back. What? Not to tie it back too much. I'm turning into Yoda.
Smoopy.
To our relationship. But the song that plays over that last montage, which is great, is She by Elvis Costello. That was our first dance at our wedding. Yeah. I might have talked about that on the last podcast.
Yeah, we probably did.
Turns out that's not a great first dance song, by the way.
No, it's not.
There's no beat.
We technically had two first dance songs, but we couldn't really have two.
Because there's only one first.
Right. So we used the other one, which was Buddy Holly's...
True Love Ways.
True Love Ways, yep. Yeah. And so we used that for the... Bring out the bridal party and also dance with them song.
Right.
Maybe we would have switched that.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Or just done one. Who knows? But yeah.
We could have done a mix.
Sometimes I revisit.
Like a rave mix.
I kind of like it, like that scene in Matrix Reloaded. Sometimes I go back and revisit some of those, especially those old romantic comedies, but also those like kind of British romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking. Specifically like of four, Love Actually.
Oh, okay. Right.
I was never a big Four Weddings and a Funeral guy, ever.
I wasn't either.
I could go back and watch it, and it's not going to do much for me. And part of that is just, like, who wants to be in love with Annie McDowell?
No, I know. I never thought that she was.
And yet, Groundhog Day is, like, a perfect movie and one of the best movies ever.
Sure, right. Okay.
But that's Bill Murray just selling the fact that Annie McDowell is the most special woman on the planet.
It's just, she's kind of boring. Yeah. I feel bad. I've always felt that way, too. Yeah.
Because she is.
She has,
boring.
Like, pretty natural curls, though, right? That was, like,
and that's what it is. And that's what it comes down to.
Did
just
she?
Her hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, Love Actually was a movie that I really liked, and then I go back to it and I'm like, oh, this movie's not that good.
Yeah, no, I've felt the same way, and I'm still like, oh, I could watch it around the holidays.
Yeah.
Like Holiday.
Like The Holiday?
No.
That's a movie that's not
they're
that good.
No.
But I could,
not good.
But I could watch it around the holidays.
What was that thing you did?
That thing you do.
Carol, oh, that's a good
that
movie.
That was on one of our videos where she runs and thinks and then runs.
Oh
yeah.
My God,
no, that's
so
a real
funny.
Thing that's in that second movie.
So, wait, what are we talking about? There's something about Mary still, or did we move on?
We could have moved on.
Did we move on?
Oh, we were going to talk about Armageddon, maybe?
Oh, my. Yeah, we probably should.
Well, so many of these movies are kind of from around the same time, I'm noticing, like 97 to 99.
Because this is when we were friends.
This was our formative relationship. What?
our years.
I was crazy excited to see Armageddon in
1998. Yes.
And I wonder how much of that was just like we were into the movies of the summer. We saw every movie that came out. That was going to be the big one. But also...
Do you remember that it was sold out?
I do.
For the whole night and we stood in the lobby for long enough. And there were some other people too that finally someone came out and said, if we made an 11:30 PM screening, would you guys stay and watch it? And we're like, yes. And so then we all bought tickets and went to that.
And we got to see Armageddon.
Yes. How great is that?
We didn't get out till like 3 a.m. and it was like totally worth it.
Oh my God.
and that movie's garbage, but I will always have kind of a soft spot for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was a big Ben Affleck fan at the time because it was coming off of like Chasing Amy and Good Will Hunting.
And you love Liv Tyler.
And that was almost the height of my Liv Tyler. I mean, that thing you do is the technical height of my Liv Tyler love.
Okay.
But yeah, like seeing a movie where Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler were in love, get out of here. And there's an asteroid and like whatever.
The world's greatest deep core driller.
And that movie is not good. But I remember at the end of it wanting to like stand up and tell you that I loved you.
Oh my God.
This was a long time before I would ever actually say that to her.
Oh my God, like a long time. Listeners, I know the story already, but it's so cute.
It's like so moved was I by I don't want
to
miss a thing playing over the credits during the like the shots of Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler's wedding. And Bruce Willis says goodbye because he has to sacrifice himself. And Affleck's all like, Harry, I love you. It is a garbage movie that I secretly kind of like. But again, I think a lot of that is just my residual 98 affection.
Yeah. And it inspired those feelings in you.
That's right.
For me. But
feelings
he didn't tell
of love.
Me.
No. Hell no.
No. Until many
You, world's
years
greatest
later.
Deep core drilled your way into my heart.
Oh my God. I did. No, you know what it was? When I brought those animal crackers over to your house.
Oh, my gosh. I made them crawl all over. Oh, And that has become shorthand for just like obnoxious romantic subplot scene and just like shitty screenwriting. And that's fair, but like there are so many examples of that scene in every movie that I don't. Animal Crackers gets a bit of a bum rap. Yeah. It does smack of like a rewrite. Like they hired in an extra screenwriter and said, the thing that I want you to do is punch up the relationship between.
We Affleck's
name.
Cute,
I feel like Affleck's name is AJ.
Really?
And I feel like Liv Tyler's name is Grace. And I'm pulling those out of nowhere because it's been a long time since I've seen Armageddon.
You have a great effing memory, though.
Well, I have a great memory for Armageddon. The movie I'll talk about, and I'm not going to say that much about it again. Okay. I'll talk about Catwoman.
Oh, because Catwoman.
Well, here's the thing.
Can I share when we saw Catwoman?
Yeah, go ahead.
We saw Catwoman on our honeymoon.
That's right. So here's, again, ladies,
in Florida,
fellas, you know that you have someone that you will be with for the rest of your life.
Aww.
If you are a movie lover, and that person will go with you to see Catwoman. And I didn't want to see Catwoman. I knew that it was going to be a giant piece of shit. And Erica knew that it was going to be a giant piece of shit. But we were on our honeymoon, and we loved going to movies. So we saw like 5 or 6 movies on our honeymoon. And we kind of both implicitly understood, like, oh, this will be a story. Like, if we're going to see Catwoman, we should do it on our honeymoon because at least that's kind
it's
of funny,
it's a funny memory.
As opposed to if we do it when we come home. And I probably told this story before, but Catwoman and Erica went to sleep. There's a difference between I fell asleep, I couldn't stay awake, and this movie is so shitty, I would rather go to sleep. So Erica went to sleep. Woke up to a giant CGI cat head on the screen, because that's a scene in that movie, and she kind of laughed and then went back to sleep.
On your shoulder.
That's right. And that's a garbage movie. Aww. But again, I bring it up because it's just sort of a testament to the fact that if you love movies, you want to see everything and you want to experience. I read this quote a couple weeks ago on Twitter, and I don't remember who it was. I'll attribute it to Scott Weinberg, but I could be wrong. And it was like, there are people that love movies, and there are people that love the movies they love. And that's okay.
Right.
Like, loving the movies you love is okay.
Right.
But loving movies it's a sickness. I mean, and it's great. It's a great sickness to have, and we all have it. But,
right, and people have their different art forms. You know, someone might love dance, like, beyond just wanting to dance or wanting to perform or whatever, but they love dance. They'll go see anything. No, there's an absolute difference there. Sometimes I'll meet someone who's like, oh, I love horror. I'm like, oh, cool.
Right.
But they will not go see maybe the new Wes Anderson. Or they love Wes Anderson so much, they have no interest in seeing Fast and the Furious. Like,
And yeah, I mean, I do, you know, a little bit pride myself on just loving everything. All genres.
Right.
Good and bad, high art and low art. And so I want to see Catwoman just to see what that's like. I don't expect it to be good. If it is, great. Pleasant surprise. But I want to see what that's like.
Right.
And it's not good.
No.
Even a little bit. But yeah, we saw like 5 or 6 because for part of our honeymoon, we were at Universal Studios and there's a theater.
Well, and it was like 2 weeks. So,
on the property.
So we could you know, afford to give up a little bit of time to the movies. Right.
Right. So we're like, hey, we got 2 hours. Let's walk over and see Harold and Kumar go to White Castle our honeymoon.
Did we see that on our honeymoon too?
Of course we
did. Really?
No, I take that back.
I don't think we did.
We didn't. We changed our mind last minute and saw something else.
Didn't we see Collateral?
We saw Collateral.
On our honeymoon? Yeah, that
was good. Collateral. We saw The Village.
Oh my
we
gosh.
Saw Little Black Book starring Brittany Murphy.
What?
That's a movie.
I have no memory of that. I remember Collateral.
Yeah. I feel like we saw Manchurian Candidate.
What?
That might not even been outed around the same time, but I feel like it was. We skipped Harold and Kumar because we saw that when we came back with JB and his wife and then ate White Castle, which I think was the first and last time you and I have eaten White
Castle.
That
is true. Yes.
What's next for you?
Did we talk about Royal Tenenbaums?
No.
Well, I don't know. I've talked about Royal Tenenbaums before. I think when I did my, like, Fave 5
Fave five. That's what we call it. Hashtag Fave Five. Yeah. Just like, hey, F this movie, what's your Fave Five? Hashtag Fave Five.
Royal Tenenbaums. I don't know. We've probably talked about it a lot, right? And other people have too. And we already talked about Wes Anderson. I really love Royal Tenenbaums.
I know you do.
I mean, I loved Bottle Rocket. I loved Rushmore. I loved Royal Tenenbaums. Like, yes. I felt it's one of those. I mean, and
but
I'm
still,
sure
you would probably still call that one of your favorite movies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I felt at the time, and I still think I would now too, like it was made just for me.
Yes, we all
then,
have those movies,
right? And that's, yeah, I would love to hear from people. Hashtag Fave Five. No, I'm kidding. But but I would love to know.
That was my glasses bumping the mic. So I don't know. What
he's drunk, you guys.
In
I'm
what
love.
Situation do my glasses bump the mic stand? I don't know. But just picture it at home, theater of the mind.
We should make a picture of it. This is, I like this mic stand. It's
Thank
kind of
you.
Sexy to talk in.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, There's Something About Mary is the other movie with the dick shot in it. So three movies on this podcast.
You're right.
And more of a ball shot, but
can
still.
More come up? Like, are there other? I think that's it, right? There's no other hot.
Those are the three.
Right.
I mentioned Bad Lieutenant. That's got a dick in it.
Okay.
So I think we're good.
Okay. All right.
Oh, forgetting Sarah Marshall. That has a penis in it.
I was going to say penis sounds so much nicer than.
Sorry. I don't want to offend your delicate sensibilities, Your Majesty.
Okay, wait, what was I talking about? Royal Tenenbaums. Oh, everyone has a movie that's made you feel like this is just for you.
Yeah.
And I think music, again, art, right? Everyone has that thing, that whatever, the painting you'll see, the something that will respond to you. And Royal Tenenbaums, I just was, I don't know. I mean, Boogie Nights felt like that for me, too.
Yeah.
And in some ways, there's something about Mary. And maybe that had to do with, like, the time because it was,
sure.
like, whatever. But
yeah, I don't think you would watch There's Something About Mary now.
And have that same.
It would be
right.
more like, oh, I'm so nostalgic for that time in our life.
When that guy really liked
life
me.
Before he married me and got all boring. But I feel like Royal Tenenbaums you could still watch and it would still push all your buttons.
Right.
You know.
It just
in
does.
In the right way.
Everything
Hashtag
about it.
Fave Five.
Again, the way it looks, the way it sounds. The way they talk, relationships. I know, this is so cliche, right? But it's just every single thing.
Yeah.
The tone of a movie, I think, is so important sometimes when you really are trying to, or when you connect to something, a lot of times it's just the tone.
Right.
It's like the way that it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, that's a hard thing to articulate. And so we end up just calling everything the tone.
Right.
Even though that might not be exactly what it is. And I do it all the time.
Because it's more than that, I guess.
We tend to refer to sort of the sum total of all these parts as like the tone.
Right. But no, it's not. You're right.
But you're talking about it very well may be the tone.
It's the whole thing though.
But you're
the
sort
music.
Of attributing the way that it makes you feel to the movie having a certain tone.
Oh my God. I saw that movie 5 times in the theater.
Well, look at you, money bags.
I was working like multiple jobs, including
just,
at Blockbuster
just
Video.
To make the money
Boom.
To go see Tenenbaums again.
Boom, yeah.
It's like, I need my fix.
I was selling those pre-sales, man, at Blockbuster, getting a bonus. No, I wasn't. There were no bonuses. I think I got like a free movie, maybe a free PBT.
What was on your employee picks wall?
I don't remember.
Grease 2.
No. wait,
Eddie
let me think about this. Because we're talking like late 90s here.
Sure.
So what, you know.
I'm sure it was Goodfellas.
Wait, can I say something? My Blockbuster.
I can't stop you.
Only had employee picks for a very short amount of time.
Ooh.
And then it never had it again. And I was always bummed by that because when I was younger and always going to the video store and dreaming of working there because that was my dream job when I was little. what?
No, that's awesome. Again, further proof that I'm the luckiest person alive.
Oh my gosh, there was always an employee wall. We had like the employee row, in a little wall. I don't know, smaller. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know Wuthering Heights was on there. I think.
I'm sure Goodfellas was on there. Hairspray.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Can't Buy Me Love. Cocktail.
Cocktail.
These are terrible movies that Erica loves.
When would I wait? What Cocktail?
I bet I can spook you. Cocktail, by the way, if we ever did a movie or a show on movies we only saw because we were with the other person, you know, Cocktail would be on that list. I had not seen
you
Cocktail.
You had not seen it? That's right.
Heck no.
Oh my
prior
gosh.
To our getting together.
I cannot believe.
And now I've seen it probably 2 or 3 times.
Really?
I cannot stand it.
Oh,
I truly
it's
think
so
it's a terrible movie.
Bad. Good. It's not really good.
No, it
oh
is a
gosh.
Terrible
yeah,
movie.
But I was like in 4th or 5th grade seeing
not an
it,
excuse.
And then my parents sent me out of the room during
grade.
The
Did you hear my
during
Predator
the love
story?
Scene. I had to like, leave the room. Even though I had already seen it at my friend's house.
Is there any? I know.
They're rolling around in the sheets.
Like,
it's like so ridiculous.
I know.
It's like, But the music's playing.
And that's the total
God.
Hypocrisy, too, is, like, I wasn't allowed to see certain movies growing up, but, like, I'd already seen A Nightmare on Elm Street at my friend's house, you know, and, like, it was my secret.
Mm-hmm. Secret?
Yeah. Or Revenge of the Nerds I saw at my friend's house. Like, oh, I don't know why his parents were fine with us watching violence and sex, but mine were not.
There's always... Okay. So what were we talking about?
Royal Tenenbaums and how much you love it.
I love it. The music.
Yes. Music is a big thing, obviously,
for
you. It
is, right. And I'm, like, after Boogie Nights... when did that come out? What month?
What, Tenenbaums?
No. I'm sorry. I'm going back. Boogie Nights. What month of the year did that come out?
Fall, like right. September, okay. October.
Because then my mom bought me the soundtracks on CD for
Volume
Christmas.
1 and 2?
Yeah. Thank you, Mom. And again, when it's a movie like Royal Tenenbaums, that music would bring me back, you know?
Right.
And not every movie has that, has an important soundtrack.
Right.
Has music that makes you go back there and feel the same way.
Right.
So... I don't know.
That's kind of a lost art also.
I know.
The art of the soundtrack. And that's
the
topic for another show. But yeah, there are certain scores that now you can buy. Like, you'd always have to buy it on iTunes. But there's not as many like soundtracks that you would buy now. And that's, one of the things I love about Tarantino is when I'm way deep in Tarantino land, I listen to his soundtracks over and over again. Because like you said, they bring me back to the experience of watching his movies, which I like.
Do you remember when... The Daily Herald. Dan Geyer was running a contest about...
I do.
About favorite movies.
I do. Because this was around the summer.
We were just like getting to know each other, right?
Yeah, when AFI did their top 100.
Yeah, right.
And so that was a big deal.
So the Daily Herald said, you know, write in or call in. You could call a number and leave a message.
But that's what I did from work.
Yes.
I was working at the White Hen.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I call
you?
Oh,
I only did it because you told me that I had to. And again, I'm just like, whatever you say, I want you to like me.
Oh my gosh.
I sound pathetic and you sound kind of cold.
No. Oh
like
my
you
God,
really,
no.
You were stringing me along for a long time.
I wasn't
time.
Though.
But I'm just saying
oh,
that's the
no.
picture that I'm definitely
You're,
painting.
Yeah, you are.
Unfairly,
oh my gosh.
But whatever.
We were friends. We became great friends.
We were, and it's not your fault that I was in love with you. I mean, it is your fault, but you didn't. Whatever.
Okay.
Yes. So
the
we
music
both called.
Is important. Right.
And
okay.
What? And I said Blowout.
Yes, you did.
Which I love, but it's probably not my favorite movie.
But I thought it was then.
Sure, because I tricked you into thinking it was.
You had it printed in the newspaper.
I did. And what was yours? Mike
Goodfellas.
Brings it up all the time. And what did you say about Goodfellas?
Well, I said something really smart about the soundtrack. How the music was so important.
And that quote lives
on. Oh my gosh, Mike
Romero,
our Mike.
Yeah.
He is
still
always
makes
making fun
America
of me.
Because he read it in the paper.
Yeah, because Mike and I went to high school together.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he still gives you a hard time about that. But yeah, music is obviously very important. I feel like if we went back and listened to your Fave 5, hashtag Fave 5, one of the running themes would be music, although not so much Wuthering Heights, which I still haven't seen, but I did catch the last like 5 or 10 minutes of on Turner Classic Movies a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, it really moved me.
Oh my gosh,
I mean,
stop.
Really...
You have to watch the whole thing and you have to watch from the beginning.
But did I not immediately call exactly what was going on, like just based on one shot?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Look at me. Outsmarting Wuthering Heights. Yeah. Take that, Bronte. and not Hoop Dreams, which is another one of your hashtag Fave Fives. That's not about the music. But up
no,
at the
it's
other
not about
are.
The music. But can I say something about Hoop Dreams?
You might as well. We're talking about
Oh,
movies.
My gosh. You guys, this October is the 20-year anniversary of Hoop Dreams. And Steve James became my Facebook friend. And I was so excited. I told my students. Arthur Agee also became my Facebook friend. I don't know if William Gates did, though.
Yeah, what's up
he's
with Gates? Why is he holding out?
Well, you know, he's kind of
Come on,
busy.
Gates.
Okay.
Get on it.
I don't know. But I don't think...
FB
oh.
friend.
Okay,
my
so...
My wife.
Hoop Dreams. My wife.
Jeez. What? It's late, everyone. It's probably not even my birthday anymore.
I don't know. Oh, no. Let me see.
Oh,
it still is for eight
oh,
more minutes.
My gosh.
Eight more minutes. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Hoop Dreams, real quick. Okay, yeah. I love Hoop Dreams so much. And I feel like Hoop Dreams is that type of movie where... If someone else sees it, like legit sees it. If someone's like, I caught a little
like
on
legit
cable.
Legit sees it.
Right, legit. Okay, yeah. I'm shortening things now.
Not like pretends to see it.
Well,
because
if they see like a little bit on cable and they're like, you know, that doesn't count. But if you seriously watch it, like without texting or tweeting or doing anything else, and you don't feel anything, I don't know if we can hang out. I don't know.
No, you're right.
Like it's, what?
You're absolutely right.
That's hard. That's a thing, right? Again, with art. And in our case, it's movies, sometimes music, but like mostly movies. I can disagree with someone. Like, I can love something and someone else could hate it, and it's totally fine.
Right.
But when it's a certain movie.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, I have that, although
empathy.
Yeah. See, I don't know that I have it to the extent that you do, because with me, it's more
in general,
about,
you mean?
Yeah. Well, it like, I don't think I have a movie like Hoop Dreams where like, if you don't like it, I'm not sure I can be friends with you, because let's face it,
you couldn't be friends with anyone.
with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm just socially awkward. It's not that I dislike so many people, because I love all of you. But
you're handsome.
Thank you. No, my point is, with me, it's more about like taste. Like Cloud Atlas makes my heart explode, and I love Cloud Atlas so much. God. But if somebody tells me like I didn't dig Cloud Atlas, I would say, yeah, I understand. You know,
right?
I don't agree, but I understand.
Right.
So it's more about like taste, right?
Right.
With Hoop Dreams, with you, it's more about like
there's like layers.
What it says about them as a person,
yeah,
that you will not connect with. Like I totally understand why you say like you probably can't.
If you feel nothing,
right?
I mean, maybe you only feel a little, but if you feel nothing,
yeah.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That movie, it's so crazy. Like,
is that your favorite movie
ever?
Yeah.
I mean,
hashtag Fave Five. We're talking about hashtag
Fave Five.
What is your number one favorite movie of all time?
I've never committed to a number one of all time. When I was younger, I would say Goodfellas.
Right, because of the music and the soundtrack's really great. I've read the paper.
What's a paper? Oh, hashtag Fave Five.
I don't know. I feel like the older we get, the more it becomes Hoop Dreams comes into focus as being your favorite movie.
Because
there's no movie that you speak about with.
It's about so many things.
I know, but there's no movie that you speak about with the same passion as Hoop Dreams. I don't think.
No, I get that.
Maybe Grease 2.
You kind of make fun of me because every once in a while I'm like, God, The Social Network is so much better than it gets credit for. And you're like, what's with The Social Network all of a sudden being back in our conversation?
By the way, I really like The Social
Thank
Network.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
it's you. It's not that I dislike The Social
Network.
No,
I know.
It's just
but
funny
I feel
that
like people don't recognize.
Well, because they were all about the King's Speech,
better
all right? Just
okay.
Deal with it.
By the way, Cloud Atlas, the music.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know that MA3 song?
I do.
Like,
which is not in the movie. It was just in that trailer.
Oh, right. But that's all. Okay. That song will like I will probably just like implode. I will burst into like little tiny hearts with like wings. Like
that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like something from anime.
I don't know a lot of anime.
No, I don't
well,
either.
But,
I don't either.
It
probably
do.
Doesn't sound like something from anime. Is there a girl having sex with an octopus? I don't know.
What? Does that happen?
I'm pretty sure that's an anime thing.
Okay.
No, it's like a weird kind of animated Japanese porn.
Oh, okay.
They don't show it on HBO, right. So you wouldn't know what it
we'll
was.
We'll ask our friends who are into that.
Okay. Yeah. We'll ask Mike.
But anyway, that song, yeah. Anyway, okay, so back to Hoop Dreams. Hoop Dreams has a soundtrack. It is
correct.
Sort of available.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have...
It has the Hoop Dreams rap,
Hoop
right?
Dreams!
That's
yes.
what I was
going
to say.
Oh, my gosh. I can do it. Hoop Dreams. I know some lyrics, too, but I will not rap them right now. It has... There's a piece of music, instrumental, that plays over certain parts in the movie. And one of them is at the end when William Gates goes
I've
back.
Searched for that music for you before.
I have, too.
I can't find it.
Oh, my
it.
God.
I'm
it's
sorry.
So... It just kills me. Like, yeah. My heart swells, and it swells up to where my tears are just like, oh,
yeah.
I can't even...
Would you cry more in Hoop Dreams than you do in Eight Crazy Nights? Or, like, as much? Would you say it's... As much as Eight Crazy Nights.
That is the movie that he always goes back to.
You cried during Eight Crazy Nights.
Really? Was
cried?
I just having a rough night?
Clearly.
Was I just
but
feeling...
so was I, because I was at fucking Eight Crazy Nights.
Was I just having like a
There
a
was about an 8 year, maybe not 8 years, 4-5 year period, I guess, 5 years.
Okay.
Where we literally saw every movie that came out.
We did.
That's,
we really
that's
did.
That's what we did. We just went to every movie, and sometimes we'd see 5 a day.
Yeah.
And again,
it might have been like 6 years.
You can't. These people are hard to come by, everyone. Like, if you love movies and you love going to the movies, you need to find someone who will see 5 or 6 movies with you. It's a rare breed, but I'm a lucky man to find that person.
You're so sweet.
Well, I love you.
I love you too.
All right, great.
Shmoop. I don't know. It helps. Like, people will sometimes say, like, oh, it's good to, you know, do things separately. And that's totally true. And we do. But, like, when you have things in common like that, that you love to do
the
same things and go to the same places, I don't know. It just helps. It just helps. You can still do your separate stuff, whatever you want. But at least it's not a challenge. Like, what are we going to do, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, you wish that I would go, like, antiquing with you all the time.
I
and
mean,
I'm like,
I'm
babe,
just, there's
I don't know
some
if
old
I
things
go antiquing.
That I like to, I don't even like to buy it. I just like to look at it. I just like to see it. Because, you know what? They all tell a story.
Oh.
All these old pieces, they all tell a story, everyone.
Oh,
I literally, this is pulling back the curtain too much.
Oh my God.
I never want to do anything. Like, I will always go to a movie, and that's about the only thing that I will always agree to.
And I guess that works out.
Is going to
How
a movie.
How else would you have, I don't know. But, yeah. So to wrap it up,
yes.
Movies.
Movies and love, birthdays.
Shmoopy.
And schmoops.
Day five. It's midnight, by the way. Your birthday
Birthday's
is,
over?
Yeah. So
let's wrap it
bye.
Up, everyone.
Okay, fthismovie.com. No. .net.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me back on.